Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Densel. It's Friday. Don't have much going on this weekend. No disc golf tournaments. Next weekend, I have a tournament in Sarasota. I'll drive back and forth to that one. That course is only about, I don't know, about an hour from here. I got to go across the Skyway Bridge, which is really impressive. Infrastructure. I guess it is part of the infrastructure. You want to talk about politics and Trump and all of that. It's an impressive piece of infrastructure, people. But I'll be going across that, and every time I go over that bridge, I see those warning signs, and there's a call box at the top of the bridge because, like, it's an arch because it's been a site for suicides. And in fact, I know somebody who saw somebody jump off that bridge to the guy's death. So I'll be going across that bridge this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, for this tournament. I think it's three rounds, two on Saturday, one on Sunday, just like it was in Orlando. But that's not till next weekend. It's actually going to be nice to have a weekend off to kind of get everything back together. And last night at trivia, my team came from behind and won. We were in fourth place after the first round. And then by the final question, we were tied. And then there was a playoff question of a year. What year did Serena Williams start her professional tennis career? I think we guessed 1997. And the correct answer was 1995. All we had to do, all it was who was closer, who could come closer to the right date. And we came closer, so we ended up finishing in first. We were actually overall in second place going into last night. Kind of been, I don't know, been a little lackadaisical than usual, I think, at trivia. But we got back to business last night, and so I think overall we are now in first place again, which is where we should be. So that was nice to kind of come from behind and win that. Let's get to the program, and we'll, you know, get on to our weekends. This I have to continue to talk about James Comey and why he got fired. There's just more and more information. I don't know if it's all true. I'm going to guess that some of it's not, and that's what makes this story so difficult. It's, you know, it's gotten to the point where I think that if you were to just ask 100, just pick 100 Americans out of a crowd, doesn't matter gender, ethnicity, race, occupation, how much money they make or anything. If you asked 100 Americans why Donald Trump fired James Comey, you're not going to get 100 different answers, but I bet you're going to get about 20 different answers. And in fact, I think the people who are even very close to this, I wouldn't necessarily, even maybe some people in the FBI who know everything that's gone on are puzzled by what has happened. And there are stories out there that are many in the FBI don't like that James Comey got fired, and some people think that it was the right thing to do. So everything is completely all over the map. And I guess this shouldn't be a surprise given that we have a president who is all over the map, not just in his behavior, but in his politics, how he's handled his private life. He is all over the map. So we shouldn't be surprised that all of the rest of this, anything involving him, is all over the map. It very well may be that Donald Trump just woke up that day and just decided to fire James Comey. Didn't have anything to do with anything political or Russia or anything, but he knows probably that he can't say that. Even he maybe knows he can't say that. He can't say, well, I just woke up and it felt like the right thing to do. So all of these other reasons are generated. And even I asked my, and I'm not going to tell you what his answer was necessarily, but even I think that I just asked my buddy Dave a simple question. Why do you think Trump fired Comey? And, you know, I think that my buddy Dave is somewhat a little, not perplexed or puzzled, but just isn't sure, just like I think a lot of Americans are. And I consider him to be much more astute on political happenings in the United States than your average person, average citizen. And I guess I kind of feel the same way. I've offered up a lot of different possibilities, but as more and more information comes out, and it's all contrasting. He asked for, back in January, he asked for James Comey's loyalty, and he didn't get it. And well, if he didn't get it back then, why would he wait to fire him all these months later? And of course, loyalty is not something you should be asking from the director or the head of the FBI. Because that is an investigative position. And just to go wherever the facts take him and his agents. It's not supposed to be about loyalty and looking the other way as the president gets away with something. So asking for his loyalty, once again, if it ever happened. If it ever happened. And with Trump coming out talking to Lester Holt, of all people. You know, it's funny. Donald Trump spent a lot of time in the campaign talking about fake news and all these different stations and how they lie and everything. But there he is talking to Lester Holt. I'm not saying Lester Holt's a bad guy. But he certainly works for a station that I think Donald Trump was meaning when he started talking about fake news. And there he is, Donald Trump, talking to Lester Holt. It's all a little difficult to figure out. Once again, Donald Trump all over the map. But you get the feeling from that statement and what he made to Lester Holt, and he said something to the effect of, well, I was thinking about myself and Russia and how it's fake news. And I just thought that, and I know that it's fake news. But the FBI is going to continue to do this. And I just thought he deserved to be fired. And he makes it look, on one hand, like he's disappointed that, Donald Trump is disappointed that James Comey and his people can't understand that what they're doing in the investigation of Russia into this election is nothing but a bunch of nonsense. That's what the statement kind of sounds like to me. On the other hand, you wonder if Donald Trump believes that. All this goes back to what I continue to say. Donald Trump wouldn't have had anything to worry about if he hadn't talked so nicely about Russia and all these people who were in it, that he seems to be connected to, have all of these Russian ties. He wouldn't have had to worry about this if those things weren't facts. If all of the connections that he had, if Rex Tillerson had gotten a medal from Canada or Australia, it would be a lot different. But instead we have reality, and the reality is he has these connections, and, could it be that, he knows that there's nothing going on, and he doesn't believe that, anything went on, that the Russians helped him, and he can't understand why James Comey can't see the same thing. Why is he? And maybe Donald Trump's saying, well, maybe he's after me. Maybe he's working for the Democrats. Maybe he's just truly after me, and he's going to do anything he can to get me, even if it means falsifying information. I don't know. I just don't know. And I have no problem coming to this microphone when I don't know something and telling you that. I'm not going to try to convince you that I'm smarter than I am. I have no need to do that. So on top of that, there's all sorts of reasons. And I think that every reason comes from some place in our media or in the government that views something wrong with this administration. From the media, it's going to be, well, he fired James Comey because he does have these Russian connections, and Comey was going to investigate them, so that's why he fired him. Whereas people in the administration who or love Donald Trump saying, well, he got rid of James Comey because he didn't want to do anything regarding Hillary Clinton, or that James Comey couldn't stop the leaks, that, you know, the FBI should be looking into whoever's leaking out of the White House, and James Comey wasn't able to stop that, and Donald Trump got frustrated with that, and that's the reason. It all depends on how you feel about Donald Trump as to the reason that James Comey got fired. Now, me as a guy who isn't necessarily on either of those sides, I'm not for the media. I'm not for the administration. I'm not for Hillary Clinton. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for her. I voted for myself. And, you know, in speaking of which, you know, I try to put myself in his shoes, not necessarily Donald Trump's shoes, but in a president's shoes. You run for office, you know, you have this FBI director. He did this, he did that. I'd have to say that I do not believe if I were president, if I got to pick, you know, I would, we'd of course be picking my own attorney general, that I think that I would probably switch out FBI directors as well. I think I would. I know that that is not, you know, I don't remember what Barack Obama did when he became president. Did the FBI director get switched out? I don't remember. George W. Bush, when he became president, did he switch out FBI directors? I have no idea. I can't remember. I just don't. Now, I think with Bill Clinton, of course, when I think of Bill Clinton, I think of Janet Reno, and I surely know that Janet Reno wasn't heading up the FBI while Bush 41 was in office, so I'm guessing that he got his own FBI director in Janet Reno. I have to believe that no matter what James Comey had done during Barack Obama's administration, and let's just take for granted it would have gone very much the same way, where I would have been running against Hillary Clinton and James Comey would have investigated her and decided not to do anything, I think that I would have probably switched him out just because. Just because. Not that I have anything against James Comey, but switching out FBI directors, being that the boss is changing, Attorney General, seems like a common sense thing to do, even though I'm not saying that I don't know if it happens all the time. But I'm thinking what happened was that Donald Trump kept James Comey around simply because of what James Comey made. Yeah, I happen to believe, as much, you know, you can read into it this way. Maybe he kept James Comey around because Donald Trump down deep truly does believe that James Comey turned the election for Donald Trump. Even though that's not what Donald Trump has said publicly, remember what he said, I ran a great campaign and it was a landslide and the voters saw who the better candidate was and all this. He doesn't talk about James Comey having an effect on the election. The only people that talk about that are Democrats. Hillary Clinton supporters, Barack Obama supporters, liberals. That's who talk. Those are the people who talk about that. But it very well may be that down deep, Donald Trump is saying it very well may be that James Comey helped me win the election. And maybe he thought, well, I'll let James Comey stick around. You know, he did a favor for me. Maybe he's a guy who's going to, like, be on my side. Remember how much Donald Trump likes people. And especially people who do him favors. And maybe he's thinking that James Comey did him a favor. And that's the reason he stuck it around. And then that meeting, once Donald Trump became president, was to find out, hey, you know, you did that nice thing for me back in October. You know, and I just want to find out how loyal you're going to continue to be. And then this would sync up with this meeting that Donald Trump had with James Comey back in November or January, February, where it was just the two of them. And this topic allegedly came out about loyalty. Could it be that it stemmed from what James Comey did back in October? I think it could. And maybe what Donald Trump was hoping was that he was going to hear something from James Comey like, whoa, you like what I did with Hillary Clinton right before the election? Well, I can continue to do that for you. No problem. And Donald Trump didn't get that. But he thought, well, I can't get rid of him. I'm president, and it's going to look fairly suspicious that I have a meeting with him and then I fire him. So I'm going to keep him around, and we're going to see if maybe we can whip this guy into shape. Maybe he can start seeing things my way. Donald Trump's thinking this, and it just didn't go that way between then, back in the early January into February, whenever that dinner took place, and now. And that's the reason that Donald Trump, got rid of him. Once again, it could very well be that Donald Trump just woke up and said, you know, I'm just going to get rid of this James Comey guy. I have a better guy in mind for the position. Regarding the leaks, and I think that Jonah Goldberg over at National Review has an excellent article about this. And it's something that I've said for a while, that Donald Trump loves drama. And leaks create drama. And Donald Trump's management style, and this is what Jonah Goldberg said, exacerbates the leaking that goes on in Washington, D.C. Remember what Barack Obama did when he found out that there was leaking going on in his administration. Do you remember? Do you remember James Rosen being followed by the FBI, by FBI agents? Remember that? That happened because of leaks that were happening in the State Department and I believe the Defense Department. And what Barack Obama's administration did with the help of the FBI was to try to find out who was leaking. And instead of following government officials around, maybe a suspicion that they had who might be doing this, instead, the FBI was following around the reporters who were getting the information. And that's where the whole James Rosen from Fox News being followed around started. Remember, all the conservatives were outraged about that. I don't remember it being quite, I thought it was odd, and I think that it is very dangerous when the government starts following reporters around, but I also understood kind of the reason that it was happening, although I think the administration went about it the wrong way. No administration likes leaks, except for maybe the Trump administration. The Clinton White House hated leaks. George W. Bush hated leaks. Barack Obama obviously hated leaks. People who get information and then, you know, run off to some payphone somewhere, if those even exist, or have another secret cell phone and they call some reporter and report on or meet a reporter somewhere, or maybe it's like Deep Throat and Watergate meeting a reporter in a parking garage somewhere to tell them what happened. So remember that what happened in the previous administration when leaking started. It doesn't seem that this, not necessarily this administration, but I think that the leaking and the trying to stop it is as forceful as it was during Barack Obama's administration. But it should be noted that Donald Trump's administration is only about 4 months old, whereas the way I remember it, that this leaking and wanting to do something about it in Barack Obama's administration didn't start, I don't think, within the first year. I think it started going on sometime after that. So maybe we just got to, you know, give this all time. But the culture, I think, of the Barack Obama White House is certainly different from the Donald Trump White House in that I think Donald Trump loves the drama, and I think that then he has people around him who love the drama. And his management style is one that is confrontational. He puts people in positions, for example, Jared Kushner and Steve Bannon, who don't like each other, who have opposing views about what should be going on. Steve Bannon being not really a conservative, I don't know if he's necessarily a racist, but he's certainly an alt-right guy. And then you have Jared Kushner, who's a registered Democrat and is obviously liberal. So you have these two guys clashing, and that's not the only clashing that I think that is going on in this White House. And this is a story from months ago that this was the kind of way that Donald Trump ran his businesses as well, putting people with varying, different ideas in similar positions, them fighting it out, and then him coming in and seeming like the savior. And that can kind of work in a corporation because, there's nowhere for these people to go to vent. They're showing up to work, they're getting paid. But when you're in the White House and you're in the executive branch, you can get a lot of attention and you can hold a lot of power once you start learning this information and you think that your side isn't getting what it should. Somebody on Steve Bannon's side is upset. What's the person do? The person finds the nearest reporter and leaks something. If one of Jared Kushner's people or Jared Kushner himself doesn't like what's going on in the White House, then he or she goes to some media member and says, hey, can you believe this is happening? I thought you'd want to know what's going on, or we got to get this to go in a different direction. That's what happens when you have a management style like Donald Trump and you pick people like Donald Trump. And moreover, they are not cabinet positions. So they work very close to the president. I mean, most of the cabinet members, except maybe the attorney, maybe the attorney general, maybe the defense secretary and secretary of state. Other than that, how often do you think that the secretary of education and Betsy DeVos and Donald Trump meet? Ben Carson, remember him? Haven't heard about him in a little bit. How often do you think he and Donald Trump meet? Not very often. But these other people, they're right there in the White House. They're there every day. They're sitting in on these meetings, and they're either getting their way or they're not. And given the confrontational style that I think has been created there, leaking is going to happen. Pressure causes leaking. Just like on a ship. If a ship isn't, if you want to go back to the wooden ship days, if it's not tight enough, if you don't fill in all those areas between the wood, the water pressure will leak in. Leaks will happen. And I think pressure is being generated in this administration because of Donald Trump and his management style and dare I say it, Donald Trump and his politics, which are all over the map. And it practically drives people to seek outside people to talk to. And what better place to person to talk to is a reporter. And you get a little power, and then you feel like, once again, it's like Watergate, and you're like a spy or something. So, regarding the FBI and the leaks, I really wonder. I hear that the administration doesn't like these leaks, but I'm not convinced of that. Because I continue to believe that a lot of this is just a big show. And leaks are seen as something, it's just like no different than a plot in a movie. And what do? If you think things are moving, if you're a screenwriter and you think things are moving a little too slowly and the audience is getting bored, what do? Car chase, knife fight, something that goes on to kind of pick up the pace again. And what better way than a bunch of leaks? We got to write something into the script here. It's no different than reality TV because it's not reality. Everything is scripted. And it's getting a little boring, and so we're going to allow some leaks to happen to kind of juice everything up, to keep everybody on their toes. And this is the problem that happens when you elect a reality TV show star to the presidency. Furthermore, and this is to a tweet that just happened, Donald Trump, it used to be at one time, that if a president threatened somebody, especially a guy who used to be the FBI director, that would be big news and would be seen something that is unfit for the office. Not anymore. Donald Trump is out there tweeting that a message to James Comey. You better hope that there, you know, none of these conversations we had in the White House were, quote, and he had in quotes, taped. That sounds like a threat to me. It certainly does. And once more, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to make of that. I know that it's an expression of Donald Trump's character and the way he thinks about things. On the other hand, I don't know necessarily what that means. Is he saying that James Comey is saying things in public that he wasn't saying behind the scenes? Or is Donald Trump saying that James Comey had made some statements behind the scenes that would probably be very embarrassing if they got out to the public? And he's saying, you know, Donald Trump saying, you better hope that I, you know, never, you know, find out that those exist, or you could be in a world of hurt. You know, it could be quite embarrassing for yourself. I don't know what to make of that. But this is what we got. This is who a bunch of you voted for. This is what you wanted. I continue to think that this is all predictable. Remember when I said, going way back before the election, you know, if Donald Trump becomes president and he gets to pick a Supreme Court nominee and it's somebody that all of you like, that the first time that nominee makes a decision on the Supreme Court that Donald Trump doesn't like, you know it's going to be, you know, hell from above. It's going to be raining fire on that person. And I still think that that's going to happen. I don't know how many of you really took that seriously. You seem to think that Donald Trump, if he nominated a Supreme Court justice, well, that's all that's needed. No, it's a little bit more complex than that. And surely, if Donald Trump has no fear of threatening a subtle threat to a former FBI director, then surely Donald Trump is going to have no problems issuing out some threat against Neil Gorsuch. I think that, you know, if we as conservatives, if the attitude during Barack Obama's administration was that Barack Obama took the presidency into the gutter, didn't take it seriously enough, you know, all the ESPN stuff and the basketball and the golfing, and just take the politics out of it for a second, you know, just seeming like the position was too small for him. I think Donald Trump has taken, you know, the presidential office of the United States into the gutter. I think that, and in that way, I think that Donald Trump is very much like Richard Nixon, who, I'm not saying that this whole Russian thing is Watergate or anything else, I'm still not sure that there's any smoke or fire to any of this. But Richard Nixon, with his personality style, his paranoia, the people that he surrounded himself with, who were willing to break into places and everything, he took the presidency down into the gutter. He really did. And it was something that it took the rest of the 70s with a decent guy like Gerald Ford, even though he was no conservative. And then Jimmy Carter, who was obviously not a very good president, but at least he wasn't Richard Nixon. And then it was Ronald Reagan who I think finally brought the presidential office back to where it should be and the way it should be viewed. And then, of course, Bill Clinton just took it right back there. But I was, you know, back down in the gutter direction. But I happen to believe, as much as Bill Clinton, I think, is a bad guy, that Donald Trump has already done more damage to the presidential, the office of the president, than Bill Clinton did, even though I know Bill Clinton cheated on his wife in the Oval Office and everything that went on there. But Donald Trump, you know, with Bill Clinton, it was like behind the scenes. He knew that he shouldn't be cheating on his wife, and that's why it was kept secret with Monica Lewinsky for so long. Donald Trump, he's just out and out tweeting. He can't be there is no secrets with him necessarily when it comes to what he thinks and who he hates or anything else, right into the gutter. And I think this is still all predictable. I got to go to the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. Let's move on to something else. I'm guessing that James Comey's story will continue to start every program, any conservative news program that you are listening to these days. North Korea. What are any Americans doing there? I got to wonder. I mean, on one hand, how do they even get in the country? It seems to me that Kim Jong-un, I mean, he knows when everybody in that country, you know, goes to the bathroom. So how is it that any Americans can really ever get into that country, given what has gone on between the United States and North Korea and the threats back and forth going back for a very long time? And even though I know that we've never, you know, recently had any bullets, you know, going against each other, and, you know, no American has necessarily been murdered or assassinated or killed by a North Korean, I think, since the 1970s. I think your average American knows what goes on in North Korea, but you get these stories about these Americans who've gone there and then certainly live to regret it. In fact, I know on YouTube, if you ever watch any documentaries of people who have gone to North Korea and they have a camera or something, it's not some American. It's usually some British person or French or Swedish, somebody like that. Maybe there are a couple documentaries or people who are Americans have gone over there with cameras and were able to film how weird it is there, but I think it's very rare. The reason I'm talking about this, I saw this story about this guy, didn't even write his name down, simply because, you know, what's the point? I think the guy's a little bit of an idiot, and I'm not going to say his name, but he went over there on some tour. While he was there, he had a Bible with him. Somehow he snuck a Bible into the country. You just can't bring a Bible in North Korea. But somehow he brought one in there. And he was at some nightclub or something. I didn't even know they had nightclubs in North Korea, which seems to me to probably be one of the most bizarre scenes that you could probably find in the world. A North Korean nightclub. But he went into the restroom and had this Bible and hid it under a trash can. And I'm guessing the reason that he did this was because he was hoping somebody comes in, maybe to change the bag out or something, would happen upon this book, and the person would start going through it. I don't know if the Bible was in English, or I don't know what, I'm going to guess it was in English, but somebody would look at this. And he viewed it as his way to spread the word of God to a country that the only God is Kim Jong-un and his dad and his grandfather. So I get it. That was his idea. But you probably have heard this story. This guy didn't get away with it. Although he got out of the nightclub, by the time he made it to the airport to fly out of there, the North Koreans had found the book. They figured out who left it there. And this guy was held captive. He wasn't in a dungeon or anything. I think he was just isolated in some room somewhere. He was allowed to watch North Korean TV, wasn't allowed to do much, and he ended up being used, even though he himself was not tortured or anything else, but he was politely asked, or they politely demanded, that he issue this statement saying how great North Korea is and how great Kim Jong-un is and what he did was wrong and all of that. It wasn't like he was a prisoner of war or anything. But he was used as a political pawn to further Kim Jong-un's desires to be seen as a legitimate country and to try to threaten the United States and other countries. If you don't do something, you know, help us, if you don't allow our nuclear program to go forward, then who knows what might happen to this guy. And there's another recent story about another American who was caught there, who was brought into custody there. And once again, I ask, as I started this out, what are you Americans doing there? I could understand maybe going back to World War II or after the Cold War between the late 40s and the 80s. There were many Americans who ended up in East Germany who would go over there. Although they were monitored and all of that, I think that was much more common, much more accepted because, first of all, the United States has connections to Europe. We had just liberated that entire continent. Then, of course, the Soviet Union brought half of the continent back under its rule. There were many Americans stationed in West Germany and in West Berlin who probably knew people who lived in East Germany, East Berlin. So it's not unusual to think about Americans going over to East Germany, as crazy as that country was too. One of my favorite movies being The Lives of Others. But North Korea really does not have any cultural connection to the United States. There's many Koreans who live here now, and I welcome all of them. But our country does not descend from, you know, East Asia. Our country is anchored, our history is anchored in Western Europe, of course in England. And so it just seems to me, I can understand Americans going to East Germany back in the day, going to North Korea now, especially considering North Korea, I think, is way wackier than East Germany could ever hope to be. What are you doing there? Don't you know that it's dangerous? Don't you know that you're going to end up being pawns in some international scheme by Kim Jong-un? Don't you know that, you know, if you're going there and you're looking to spread the word of freedom or free speech or spread the word of God, whatever your religion is, that's probably not going to end well. And I understand your motivations. You feel sorry for the North Korean people. And you want that country to be something different than what it is right now. But you are going to end up being used as a pawn in all of this. That the North Koreans are probably going to figure out what you're doing, and it's probably going to backfire in a huge way. And it really, in the end, because the way any American is going to be portrayed is some spy. Now, I know that that's a lie, but the North Koreans aren't going to know that you were there trying to spread the word of God and tell them about how great the rest of the world is. All they're going to be told is that you were spying on it for the imperiously United States who wants to conquer all North Korea and bring all these people back to slavery or something. I mean, it's whatever that they're told. And their god, Kim Jong-un, is something's going to happen to him. So you people need to be wary of all Westerners who come into the country, especially anybody who says he or she is from the United States. It's not. You think that you're going to be spreading one message where it's going to be easily turned around that you were actually spreading another kind of message. This is not something like missionaries going down into Africa and spreading the word of God. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. And spreading the word of freedom and civilization and, you know, introducing tribes to new medicines to, you know, to help them with the diseases that they have, and introducing them to electricity and introducing them, you know, to different kinds of foods and things like that. This is nothing like that. You are not going to be able to do that in North Korea. I just, every time I see one of these stories, I just shake my head and say, what is this American doing there? And as things have allegedly kind of ramped up, it's funny how quickly that North Korea is the USS Carl Vinson still sitting off the coast of North Korea? Does anybody know? Is it still out there? I have no idea. Haven't heard much about it. It's funny how quickly that story went from the front page to the back page. Just don't know. We have no idea. But given it seems like things have ramped up since Donald Trump became president, it would even be crazier for any Americans to show up there and get caught up in all of this, because that's exactly what would happen. It was just something I felt I needed to talk about. I don't know if anybody else on any other program is going to be talking about this, but don't get me wrong. I have no designs on ever going to North Korea. As you know, that I don't consider myself to be a big traveler. I'm perfectly fine staying here in the United States, because I think that, frankly, the rest of the world is inferior to the United States, and there's no reason to go to inferior places. I'm not that big of a history buff that I need to go see Pompeii. I know my brother, both of my brothers have been there. Maybe my sister's been there, you know, thought it was all cool and everything. I like hearing their stories, but nothing I've ever heard would make me want to go there or anywhere else. I'm just that type of person. So I don't get this idea about going overseas. If you want to go on a vacation, why not just tour the United States? It's a big country, a lot of things to see. Get a jump in an RV and drive around for a couple weeks. That's my idea if I had the money. So even going overseas is kind of strange to me. But going to North Korea, I have to admit, there might be a little bit of a fascination with it for me. Simply because it's so weird. It's so weird, it's compelling. And I think that if I could go there and wouldn't have to fly, if I could just automatically step into North Korea to experience the bizarreness that those people, they don't know it's bizarre. I would know it's bizarre. Of course, they would look at my way of life maybe and think it's bizarre. But then I think they'd eventually figure out that, oh yeah, we're the ones who live in this weird place. And the United States is actually normal. I'd just like to experience that bizarreness for a couple days. But not with the threat of them taking me into custody and me being used as some sort of pawn in some international intrigue. You know, I see those pictures of Mike Pence there on the DMZ and the North Koreans and the South Koreans staring at each other from a few feet away. You talk about a crazy part of the world. You know, if you didn't know about North Korea and South Korea and what had gone on there, but if I were to tell you, you know, there's a place in the world where two enemies have soldiers who stare at each other all day and all night, and they're within 50 feet of each other. You would say, well, that sounds kind of weird. That can't be. Who would do that? You know, it exists at the DMZ in North Korea, South Korea. It's just a weird thing. And my dad was in South Korea after the Korean War, and he had been up to the DMZ on a bus tour and went, actually, I think, even a little bit into North Korea and came back out in this tour. I think it's way more bizarre now than it was back then, but I do, you know, enjoy hearing his story about being stationed there. He was in the Army for 2 years must have been 1950, 6, 57, maybe 57, 58, something like that. So, Americans, if you're in North Korea, please leave. Get on the first jet out of there. It's just weird. Let's move on to something else, and I guess we're going to have to go back to Donald Trump, and just to show you how crazy this has all gotten. Remember when Donald Trump talked about election fraud? He wasn't talking about his own election fraud, and I don't know how much of that there was, but he was talking about how Hillary got millions and millions and millions of illegal votes. And he said that he was going to get to the bottom of it. And that kind of died away once he became president. In fact, I don't know if one word has been uttered from that administration since he became president about any of it. And there were many stories back then about how now that he got the presidency, it doesn't seem he's concerned about election fraud anymore. Well, now, suddenly, election fraud is back. So let me understand this. The FBI is still, no matter if James Comey is there or not, is continuing to investigate if the Russians were involved in the United States election, if there was any fraud committed by the Russians to the benefit, allegedly, of Donald Trump. But now Donald Trump, having forgotten about this topic for at least, you know, for around three months to four months, he is now saying, okay, we're going to have a commission on election fraud to see if Hillary Clinton actually got, and to see how many votes in the United States election were fraudulent. Of course, him thinking that Hillary Clinton got a bunch of fraudulent votes. He's being investigated. He and his administration are being investigated with connections to the Russians that allegedly had something to do with election. But in turn, Donald Trump is now saying that he's going to start this commission to see if Hillary Clinton had any fraudulent stuff go on. This is what you get. We had two of the worst people in American political history who were running back. I think this continues to show it. I happen to believe, I don't know how much fraud was committed during the election. I don't know. I'm going to say that all 135 to 140 million votes that were cast, I'm going to guess that there were a few that are fraudulent. In fact, I'll even go further to say, I bet there were at least 10,000 fraudulent votes cast at the presidential level of the past election. Still, that's nothing. It's statistically nothing. Consider the sheer amount of votes that were cast. And this is like the essence of what I hate about this part of politics. That I'm not going to stand here and tell you that all of the fraudulent votes were cast were all on the Democrat side. Only a complete partisan believes that. Granted, it seems that over the years, the Democrats have had more famous cases of suspicious votes than Republicans have. And I know, of course, Democrats are going to point at the 2000 election, how Al Gore got ripped off. But certainly, over the course of time, there's been a lot more shenanigans on the Democrat side than Republican side. But Republicans, I think they've done their share of stuff as well. Not because they're Republicans and not because they're Democrats. It's because they're all people. And people like to cheat. People cheat on their taxes. People cheat here. We have world-famous video game players who got cheating at championships. I was just watching it. I'm not into video games, but I happened upon that video of the top 10 most famous cheaters in video game history. And these were champions who, for some reason, thought they wanted to cheat. People cheat. They cheat on their wives. They cheat on their husbands. I'm sure there was some cheating this past weekend that went on at disc golf tournaments all over the world, including the one, although I didn't cheat, there was probably some cheating that went on at the Orlando tournament that I played in. And I know of, off just off the top, that I've been playing disc golf in Florida. I know of at least three different occasions where I've heard about other players cheating and at least one of them getting caught. People cheat. So I have to believe that in the United States election 2016, that there was some cheating as well. But I don't think that it influenced the end of this, the results of this election at all. Unfortunately for Donald Trump and his people, that they are now coming out, and this has come to prominence again, you know what it kind of feels like? It kind of feels like, oh, well, if the FBI is going to continue to investigate me and somehow that I ripped off Hillary Clinton and the Russians had something to do with the election, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a commission to see how many votes she got. It looks like it's tit for tat. And in fact, you could also say that this might, you know, being that this was something that Donald Trump talked about so much before the election and after the election, then it kind of died away once he became president. You could almost say that this is done in an effort to distract particularly Republicans from all of this FBI stuff because getting, you know, throwing some red meat out to them and saying, hey, remember that thing I talked about, voter fraud? You know what? We're going to take a look at that now. You know, look at this shiny thing over here. Don't look at what's going on with James Comey and everything. Look what's going on over here. And I have to believe that that's part of it. I think it's a tit for tat, and I think that it's to distract from everything that's been going on with James Comey and the FBI and the firing and all of that. So what all of you thought was going to be a serious investigation into voter fraud of Hillary Clinton and how all these illegals or dead people or people who voted twice, you know, legal voters who voted like 10 times, what you thought was going to be a sincere investigation into actually what is going on in the voter in voting in the United States has now become a way to get back at those people who are investigating, and who want Trump to be investigated for his connections to Russia and what they had to do with the election. And also, that big story that you thought was so serious is now being used as a distraction. It's not, I don't think that this commission thing is going to go anywhere. That you do believe it is just maybe could show how far the wool has been pulled over your eyes. I think that this is something that they pulled out. They saw that the news cycle is not going generally in their direction, and Donald Trump has nobody to blame but himself. And this is, you know, there aren't any liberals taking him down. There's no real, political back and forth. Everything that Donald Trump is doing, he's doing it to himself because I believe he is a self-destructive guy. He may not be a drinker. He may not be a drug abuser or anything else, but his personality is one of self-destruction. It is anchored in paranoia, in ego, and what you think, when you think that he is being sincere, he's not. This was always my fear, that you were going to pin too much of your hopes on what he said. And now he's doing something that shouldn't be investigated? I don't know. But I surely know that the reason it's being brought up now is not for sincere reasons. And sincerity, I think, matters. It's a point that I continue to make. All of you, well, at least you'll say something conservative once in a while. And I continue to say it only matters if he's sincere, if he believes it. If he doesn't believe it, then it doesn't mean anything. But I gotta go. EdwardDensel.com is the website. Find this show on Podomatic and iTunes. Find it on RedStateTalkRadio.com. You can find my other program, a new episode coming out today, Friday, May 12th, My other program is Unfound. It's a missing persons program. Find it at Podomatic and iTunes. Please subscribe to that. I hope you all have a beautiful weekend. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.